All right, good morning, class. Good morning, class. You say, good morning, teacher. That's very good. All right, amen. Now listen, Brother Ed's gone, of course. This is his first Sunday, so we want to pray for him this morning, and I know that you have prayed for him. I'm not going to be your replacement here in Sunday school, but Brother Lewis Clark will be taking this class over, but he's on vacation. And with a purpose, going to leave Peter in Hawaii, and he'll be working with Brother Castellaw. So I want you to pray for him and for that God will work in that young man's heart as he seeks the Lord. And then we'll have a couple other guys fill in from time to time, but he'll be your mainstay as teacher. But until then, I have something on my heart that I wanted to speak on this morning. And it's not that other men are not capable. It's just that I have a burden about this, and I want to speak about it this morning. Turn with me to James chapter number 3, and I do want you to feel free to speak out, comment, respond, and as I ask you these questions. And James chapter number 3, there is a question here, and I want to deal with it, and I want Lord to help you as well. I want to give you some hope this morning as well as some help. James chapter number 3, look in verse number 13. There's a question here. It says, and you think about this question in light of your church needing some more men placed in leadership and even some women in some areas that we need, such as in the nursery and things like that. But instead of you thinking about maybe a particular person, I want you to think about yourself and how you match up with this, and then and I want you to pursue this in your heart and in your life. That looks like Brother Jurgen right there. Is that who that is? I do not have my glasses on. Hey, brother, how are you? Amen. Brother Jurgen is a blessing. Him and his wife have a great spirit, and they are. Brother Jurgen is the associate pastor over in San Antonio. I cannot say the name of your church properly. What's the name of it? See there? What'd I tell you? You say it. Well, y'all pretty good at it. Amen. All right. Okay. So good to have y'all here this morning. His wife taking a break. I'm glad to see y'all here today. We're in James chapter 3, brother. James chapter 3. And look with me there, if you would, please, in verse number 13. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? So if you had to select someone, you'd have to kind of know, okay, all right, well, can I recognize and do I have enough knowledge and good judgment to be able to tell who really is a wise man? A good wise man, a godly wise man. Because you do understand, don't you, that there are two kinds of wisdom? What would you look for? Anybody want to raise your hand and give me an answer on that? If you were seeking out a wise man, what would be some of the traits that you would look for in that particular individual, man or woman? What would you be looking for? What would stand out to you and say, that's a wise man right there. That's a wise woman right there. Or you would say, they've got some wisdom about them. What would you remark? His speech, the way he talks. Y'all agree with that? The way he talks. Okay, so if you listen to a person talk very long, would you be able to tell that's a fool? Now, you wouldn't say that to them, but you would be able to tell. That's not what I'm looking for. Yes, sir? When he talks. So we're talking about how he talks, when he talks, how much he talks. Is that right? Yes, ma'am. What he says, is it true? Yeah, you have to look for that. You have to look at what he says. So y'all are really zeroing in on his mouth. Right? On his mouth. Do you believe that the mouth can reveal the heart of a man? If you get around a person very long And I'm not talking about where they're in a setting with four or five people and they're reserved and they're not really themselves. They know how to behave themselves properly around some people. But what about when they're relaxed and they're around you and you really listen to what they're saying? And so, I mean, even some fools say things when they ought not to around other people anyway, but you listen to the way a woman talks, how she talks, what she says, and what she says, and you listen to a man. But, you know, what else? Now, Brother John, we're in James chapter 3. The question is that who among us, according to the book of James, he says this question. Here's his question. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? What would you look for that would tell you something? Now, you already nailed the mouth. What else? Is that all you got? What? How he responds and reacts to people? Okay. And when you're looking for a wise man, are you looking for any kind of particular response? A measured one? Okay. All right. And I think you taught us on a class here about reacting and responding. There's a difference in there. Okay. There is a difference. What tells you, what's wrong with a man who's always reacting quickly? He's not taking time to think about the impact of what he's about to say or do, correct? Really, what he's doing is he's just kind of expressing his feelings and his frustration regardless of how it impacts other people. All right, hold on just a minute, brother. Somebody over here raise their hand. What are you looking for, Brother Gary? I'm sorry? Okay. I couldn't hear that second word. Impulsive. Okay, I think that's along the line of what we're talking about right here. Do you know what dwells in the bosom of a fool? Anger. And usually a person that is full of anger and is a foolish person, of course, that they blow up quickly. All right? What else? What are you looking for in a wise man? Now, brother, you had raised your hand first. What would you say? Okay, where his time is invested. Sister Mary?
I was going to say meekness and not arrogance.
Okay, meekness and not arrogance. So we're looking at a man that's got some humility about him or a woman that's got some meekness and some humility about him. That's good. Now look with me over in Proverbs for just a moment in chapter 26. Keep your hand right there where you are in James. Look with me in the James chapter number, Proverbs 26 and verse number 12. Proverbs 26 and verse number 12. Do you think that you're a wise person? Do you think that you have some wisdom about you? I'm serious. Do you think so? That maybe that you have some? Now, I want to warn you. If you think you have a lot of it, and you're full of it, you probably have got a problem. Agree? You know, you've heard that saying that the man that considers himself to be wise ceases to be. That's like the man who considers himself to be humble, and he ceases to be. Other people need to recognize the wisdom that's in you. You don't need to go around promoting yourself to be a wise man or a wise woman. Because you see, the scripture says about a wise man that his mouth and his life is like a tree that has fruit on it. Have you ever seen a tree throw fruit at anybody? Have you ever seen a tree say, "Hey, get over here. I got something for you." No, it's always somebody approaches the tree. Is that correct? And so it's not you standing around trying to tell everybody what time it is because you got a pretty watch, right? It is somebody approaching you and say, hey, could you tell me what time it is? I noticed that you have a watch. And so people are drawn to humility and meekness and godly wisdom. There is something about that. So I want you to look in Proverbs 26. Here's the problem that we all run into. And my goal is to help you in this area that you might be a wise man and a wise woman. Look what he says in verse 12. He said, seest thou a man wise in his own what? Holy cow. He said, there's more hope of a fool than of him. He is so conceited. Somebody define conceited for me. Prideful, of course. You said narcissistic. Very good. All right, Brother John. Did you? Self-centered, conceited. Did you say something, Brother Stout? Okay. All right. Yes, sir? Yeah, amen. That's for sure. Brother Mark? Yeah, he's measured himself with his own tape measure, one that he made up himself. Yeah, that's for sure. And so when you got somebody that's conceited, can you tell them anything? Did you know that a wise man is always hungry for knowledge and can be taught something and wants to know more about any particular subject because he knows that he hasn't arrived on any particular subject? That there's more to know. There's so much out there. But here he says here, and so I'm just saying that my goal this morning is to help you because I'm going to tell you, go back to James chapter 3. I'm going to tell you something about God. The reason to come into church and to learn the Bible is to learn more about God and about yourself. The more you learn about God, the more you automatically learn about yourself. But I want you to see the heart of God, how much He loves you, how much He cares about you. And if you're a mother, a wife, you're going to need some wisdom. But there are two kinds of wisdom. Did you know that? There is the wisdom of the world. Do you understand that there is a wisdom of the world, the way they do things? And there is the wisdom that comes from God. All right? So notice in James 3, something here about the heart of God. You know, he says down here, he says, and look in verse number 14, chapter 3, verse 14. He says, if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, you glory not and lie not against the truth. That person's having a hard time being honest. They said everything's okay, but when you hear them and you talk to them, you can notice that there's bitterness in their heart. There is strife in their hearts. And verse 15, you think people sometimes live in self-denial? Self-deceit? Verse 15 says, this wisdom descendeth not from above. It says in verse 15, this wisdom. This wisdom. So there is another kind of wisdom. But it's not from above. He said, this wisdom is earthly, sensual, it's devilish. If you're living only for the temporary, you're walking in worldly wisdom. If you're not living for the eternal, if you make decisions based upon what's happening right now rather than what's going to happen 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, eternity. So you're walking now, as he said, impulsively, and you are reacting. And you're making decisions that's going to bring some hard consequences later. It might give you temporarily. That's worldly wisdom. Every time somebody tries to give you a credit card, and they'll say, listen, we'll give it to you interest-free for 90 days. Now, the reason they do that, and they also attack college campuses with these, because they're planning on working on the impulsive nature of a young person who will buy now, not worry about paying later. Okay, now that's worldly wisdom, and that's what happens in our hearts when we make decisions that are serious decisions. All right, but you'll notice he also says sensual. Tell me when you think of the word sensual, try to stay away from just the definition of something that might have to do with lust. But when you talk about sensual, it does have to do with lust. But there's a whole lot more to it, that word, Brother John. So you're not walking by faith. You're walking by feelings. Can feelings get you in trouble? Now, you have to live with your feelings. But you can't let your feelings dictate how you live. Can't do that because they're deceptive and they're selfish. And so there is this sensual, that's worldly wisdom. When you say, well, this is what my heart feels. What does the Bible say about if you trust in your own heart? You're what? You're not wise, are you? You're foolish if you trust in your own heart. That means your feelings, your intuitions. Because sometimes you're going to feel like you're doing the right thing because it makes you feel better temporarily. But it's not the right thing, and you will regret it possibly for a lifetime. You can make decisions in some places, and he says, this is a... Look with me, please, here in verse number 14. He says, verse 15, the wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual. You're walking by your senses. Walking by your senses. You can't walk by your feelings. You'll lose your sense of direction. You won't be able to make good decisions. I was with Brother Kenny Johnson one time out in Sabine Lake, and we wanted to fish. We got up early. We left probably here about 4 o'clock, got down there, and for some reason there was a heavy fog on the lake. But he had this, when you get out on the lake and it's foggy and you can't see the bank, do you agree you might get disoriented and you don't really know which way is shore, which way is north, which way is south? You just don't know. And you can't trust your feelings. But he's got this machine on his boat that we had to, by faith, follow the arrow on that screen that told us the safe path to go, even though we could not see and we could not feel. But we had to trust that GPS way up there in the sky the satellite, way up there in the sky that we could not see. That was sending a signal down to that machine and saying, here's the path you need to take, stay on it. And I'll keep you off the reef and I'll keep you off the shoreline. And it got us there. Now, it made me nervous. I mean, I felt like I was, you know, that you ought to know better. You know what I'm talking about? You shouldn't be here. That kind of feeling. But it got us where we wanted to go. Now, God is like that satellite. And your Bible is like that machine. And it will guide you when you don't know exactly what to do. Can't trust your feelings. So you're making decisions based on either godly wisdom or worldly wisdom. Do you agree with that, Brother John? What did he say? Street smart? Yeah. That's worldly wisdom, isn't it? Yeah. That's street smart. It is. And so, if I'm having a hard time hearing you, it's because I got my ears a little bit stopped up this morning. Got a little bit of some congestion. I'm not sick. You can shake my hand. I'm all right. I'm just telling you. If you want a fist bump, that's all right. If you want to wave, that's all right. If you want to love me from a distance, that's okay. I understand. But listen, there are two kinds. You're building your house one or two ways. You're either building your house on sand or you're building your house on a rock. What determines if you're building your house on a rock? You are what? You are building it according to the Word of God. Is that correct?
Right.
And if you do not do it, if you do not obey the Word of God, then you are building it on sand. That's what the Scripture says. All right. Now look at this quickly. Look at verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual. Look at that word, devilish. Is there a wisdom that creeps into our minds our hearts, our decision making, that is devilish? What does that mean, devilish? When you think of the devil, what do you think of automatically? Do you think of pride when you think of the devil? All right, I think of self-will, which is prideful. I think about when you're devilish, you're saying, I'm not going to do, I know what it says in the Bible, but I'm not doing that. That don't work for me. You don't understand my situation. I feel this is what I'm going to do, regardless of the consequences that it has upon other people. You understand the difference? You've got to switch gears somewhere. You've got to stop walking according to your own wisdom, worldly wisdom. And you can switch over to God's wisdom, because I'm going to tell you something. God loves you. Amen. And God says, man, I got buku of wisdom, and I want to give you some of it. Amen. Look what he says in James chapter number 1. Look at this over here. If you're in a situation where, and listen, I pray that you'd be wise in making your decisions. Don't trust in your feelings. Don't trust in what's immediately comfortable. Don't trust in your will. James chapter 1, look at this in verse number 5. I love this. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, do you know what? That ought to fit every one of us. That ought to fit everybody in here, regardless of how much gray hair you have. Because you can have gray hair and not be wise. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask who? Oh, man. Why? Because God says, I will give it to all men, including you, dear lady and mister. He said, to all men, how? Oh, man, he says, listen, I've been waiting for you to ask. I've been waiting for you to ask me. He said, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. I'll give you more than you asked for. He says, I'll give it to you liberally. Liberally. He's, man, you know the Bible says a foolish child or a foolish son is a grief to his father and mother? Do you realize that all of us in here who profess to be Christians, and when we walk in worldly wisdom, and when we make foolish decisions, it grieves the heart of God? And do you think that God would love to have wise sons? Wise daughters? Those of you who are parents, would you like for those three boys that you've got to be wise? If they came to you and said, Dad, I need to talk to you about something. I need some counsel and advice. Would you be angry that they approached you and asked you for some help? Would you be excited that they had enough confidence in you that you might have something to help them with? Yes, sir. When you ask God, you're saying to him, Lord, I don't have confidence in me, but I do have confidence in you. And I'm asking you if you would to help me in my situation with my wife, my husband, my son, my daughter, my finances, my business, my relationship at church. God, I need you to help me and show me what I need to do. He said, listen, when God says that, he says, listen, I just have one requirement. If you ask me for wisdom, you're going to have to believe that I want to give it to you and that I will give it to you. It hurts God's heart when you don't trust him, that he's going to look out for your best interest. He wants you to trust him. He said, you ask believing. And listen, God is for you. That's the whole point of this thing, is that God loves you. He cares about you. He cares about every marriage. He cares about every relationship here between in your family members. He cares about your job situation, everything. God says, and listen, God's wisdom doesn't always fix things that day. But you will know in your heart that you've made the right decision and that you're heading in the right direction. That's what I need to know, Lord, that I do what was right. Listen to what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. You know what Jesus said? He said that we should be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Did you know that when you walk in the wisdom of God, you don't harm people? You don't hurt people? Did you think about that, mom and dad, husband and wife, and your decisions? When you're selfish and self-centered, how it impacts those around you? If you're walking in godly wisdom, Jesus was harmless. Now, sometimes truth will hurt us for a while, but it doesn't harm us. And sometimes as parents, we might hurt our child, but we're not harming our child long term. Amen? Okay, so what we're looking at here is that God wants to give you that which you need to help you. And so turn with me to Proverbs. No. Let's see. I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. I didn't know if this lesson was going to go 5 minutes or five classes, but I'm just trying to mind the Lord this morning and help you today. He spoke to my heart Monday and Tuesday about this, and I'm just trying to be obedient to Him. I'm not trying to think that I have to be the one that has to teach. I don't think that way. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 12 and 13. You said earlier that you could recognize a person by the way they talk. Now, you don't always have the chance to listen to somebody talk in every situation. Because, you know, there are some people who can, they're salesmen. Amen? And maybe you'll be around somebody and say, boy, I sure wish I was had that woman for my wife. Man, listen to the way she talks and the way she behaves. But you don't know what she's like at home. You don't know what she's like when she wakes up in the morning. You don't know what he's like when he gets home from work. You don't know those things. So be careful. Okay? At verse 12, but look at this. If I'm around you very much, I'll be able to tell. Chapter 10, verse 12, look at this. The words of a wise man's mouth are what? Gracious. But the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Verse 13, the beginnings of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what should be. And what shall be after him? Who can tell him? Is it right for you to always talk so arrogantly and confidently about what you're going to do tomorrow, next week, and next week? Or should you ever say, the Lord willing? And this is what I think, or this is what I perceive. Look in chapter 12, verse 11 of Ecclesiastes. When he says a wise man's words are gracious, is it possible to speak the truth graciously? But yet, firmly. Truth alone will do its own pounding and cutting. Agreed? So you need to be careful how you speak the truth. You said earlier, it's how he talks, and maybe what he says. As she said, is he speaking the truth? But look in chapter number 12, and the Bible says this about a wise person, a wise woman. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. I'm looking from a verse here, 11. It says, the words of the wise are as goads. And as nails. When you say goads and nails, what does that impression give you about it, about their words? That they can be sharp? It encourage you, provoke you to move on. Right? To go forward, to go in the right direction. All right, now look at this. He says, verse 11, the words of the wise are his goads. So then the wise man, then he is gracious in what he says, but yet the truth itself is very pointed. Truth is pointed. It's a double-edged sword. And it can motivate you. We had a missionary here several months ago that brought an ox goad with him. And it looked like a big shepherd's staff, but the difference was on the end of it, it was kind of pointed. And when those sheep would get out of the way or get out of the way that they're supposed to be going, sometimes they would not respond to a verbal command, and so they had to be prodded just a little bit. How about you? Sometimes do you have to be prodded just a little bit? And what about your words? You see, if you love yourself, then you're not honest with people when it comes to the truth, because you want them to be your friend and you're thinking more about you than you are about them. And a wise man loves others more than he loves himself. And he says, now listen, I'm going to have to stab you just a little bit. Now that goad, now it's going to kind of get you going in the right direction. But look, he says, as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And those nails, I'm thinking about, it also helps hold things together. And when your life is falling apart, you know what you need? You say, well, I just need a friend to... some of you need a friend, but what you're looking for is somebody who will let you cry on their shoulder and agree with you. That's what you're looking for. But what you need is someone who loves you enough to be wise enough to be able to see they're not earthly. They're not temporarily thinking. They're not thinking about just the short term. They're thinking about the long term. And they're saying, no, that's not what you need to do. It might give you some relief, but that's not the answer. Here is what you need to do. And here's where you've gotten off track. And do you understand? This is, you know what? You need some good, wise friends. Help keep you in check. Now listen, but you don't need to be a porcupine Christian. There are some people, man, they just are porcupines. You bump into them, buddy, and you're bleeding when you get through after being around them. And they love cutting people up. They're sharp with their words. I'm just trying to help you. Well, I want a surgeon to help me, but I don't want him to use an axe. I want him to use a scalpel, and I want him to do it gently. Do you understand? God wants to use you. Look at Proverbs chapter number 1. We need to, I got about 10 more minutes here, and I want you to look at this. All right, you said something about his mouth. Do you know that the Bible says that the tongue of the wise is health? Did you know that? The tongue of the wise is health. So what are you saying, Brother Roger? If I get sick, I need to go see somebody that's wise and they just talk to me and I get well? Don't be so sarcastic, all right? Look with me, please, in Proverbs chapter 1. The Bible also says that the law of the wise is a fountain of life. What does that mean? It means that a wise person, a godly wise person, that person right there is a resource for me to get some help. Health for my heart, health for my mind, health for my marriage, health for my children. There's something about them. When you think about health, you're talking about, and you go there, you get some health, are you not improving your situation? And when you say a fountain of life, You're talking about going there and you're getting a drink that's going to help you in your life to go on. That's what you got to have. Now, if you're just looking for a support group, you can get those. But a godly person, a wise person, is going to help you to grow that you might be able to walk your path without having a support group all the time. Now, I need a support group once in a while. I got some good brothers that I can call and ask them to pray for me. And you've got to have that. But look in chapter number 1. The wise man whose mouth is a source of help, he doesn't feel like he has to speak. And when he does, as the brother said, he weighs his words and understands the impact of words upon other people. I can still remember some words that people have spoken to me for, and that's been years and years ago. Good and bad. Well, you talked about his mouth. Can I talk to you for just a moment about his ears? Let's talk about his ears. Proverbs chapter number 1, talking about his and her. Verse 1 says, chapter 1, verse 5. Brother David, would you read that for me, please? What does it say? Stop right there. He heard me. A wise man will what? He will hear. Now listen. My wife will testify to you from sunup to sundown that it is very possible for me to hear the noise without, I don't mean her talking is noise. That came across real bad. That was not wise. But you can hear a lot of words without actually hearing what is being said. Several wives could raise their hands right there. Because she'll say, "Are you listening to me?" Or, "You never listen to me." And sometimes I am guilty of that. I am. I confess. But I want you to look in chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "A wise man will hear." One of the manifestations of a wise man is his humility and his hunger to improve his life and to grow and to know more. More and more. But notice what it says right here. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So he's not just reading. He's also approaching some people and asking. Now, if you're going to get counsel, you're asking for it. Right? A proud man's not going to ask counsel. He just will not do it. He is a self-made individual. And he's not going to ask counsel. He's going to figure it out himself. He does not need instruction from another. Now you'll notice, don't tell me as a woman, don't tell me as a woman that you really are trying, as a wife and a mother, if you're trying to figure out how to love a man and love children by yourself. The Word of God says that you have to be taught by an older woman how to love your husband. That's more than a feeling. And a wise woman builds her house. A foolish woman, she plucks it down. Okay? Now look. Look what it says here in chapter 1. It says, look at the word, how many times the word instruction is used here. Quite often here, instruction in this particular passage. Okay? It says, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fool despise wisdom and what? Instruction." Verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction, instruction, instruction." And you have to be willing to be I brought something, somebody gave this to me, and I don't know why they gave it to me. But this is a picture of an old man. I'll let you pass it on, but it's a picture of an old man trying to put together a tricycle. Okay? And he's got instructions tore apart, laying all around him, and it says, real men don't need instructions, but the tricycle is broken to all the pieces. You see that? Yeah, pass that around. Take a good look at that. Don't break it. I've got it in my office for myself, but also for the men that come into my office, because their lives are falling apart and they will not read the instruction manual. And they will not listen to instruction. They want immediate relief. That's what they're looking for. But they're not looking, they're looking to fix the fruit of their decisions. They're not looking to change the root of their decisions, which is worldly wisdom. Does that make sense? Yeah, y'all hold on to that. See if it looks like a mirror to you when you see that, all right? But listen, guys, honestly, how does a wise woman build her house? She listens and she seeks counsel. She asks older women, what am I doing wrong? How can I fix this? What can I do? And she focuses on being the right person. Rather than marrying the right person, she wants to be the right person. And so it is with us as men. Marrying the right woman, that's important. But what if your marriage is arranged? You don't have a choice. Brother Johnny, you travel all around the world. You go over into the Arabian part of the country. A lot of those marriages over there are arranged. And they have far less divorce rates than we do. It's about being the right person. It's about being the right person. Becoming the right person. That's what it's all about. And we're running out of time. And so, I don't have time to finish this. We've got several other things to cover. I might do this again next Sunday. I'm not sure yet. I'm going to pray about it. I don't want to hog Sunday school and preaching three times on Sunday. I'd like for my men to have opportunities and develop and grow. I'm going to pray about it, see what I need to do. There's so much more to this I need you to see. And tonight, I'm going to ask you, I'll mention this again in the other services, I'm going to give you a piece of paper that's got all the men in our church on it. And I'm going to ask you to select some men to help me in leadership. And I'm asking you to get past your family feelings and your favorite people and select wise men, godly men. So measure them according to the Scriptures. Amen? All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the time with these dear saints. And I pray, Lord, even this morning again, that you'll bless Brother Ed Tierbach and Debbie, that you'll encourage them this morning. And Lord, may there even be a visitor in the pew this morning for them. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for Jesus. In his name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.